A dirt late model veteran quietly sets his schedule. Williams Grove changed their jump start rule, only it's probably not better, and a lot more today. Let's go. It's Wednesday, March 20th. I'm Justin Fiedler. This is Dirt Tracker Daily, presented by Kubota Genuine Parts. An avalanche of dirt late model news the last week or so has really dominated much of what we've been talking about around the sport. And, you know, you're talking about the World Racing Group tire penalties for Devin Moran, Bobby Pearce, and Kyle Bronson, to the shakeup of Rocket Racing with Hudson O'Neill out and Tim McCready in. This week, though, one driver and team have appeared to make their national tour choice, but I bet you didn't even notice. Through much of Speed Weeks, we were somewhere around 15 commitments for the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series, but things always remain fluid, depending on how drivers perform down south. And one driver who's emerged in the top 10 in the standings who had yet to clarify his situation was Jimmy Owens. He's run every Lucas race up to this point and has a win, two top fives, and six top tens in 12 appearances. That's good for seventh in the standings headed to Atomic and Brownstown this weekend. After Golden Isles late in February, a post on Owens' website said that they had not yet committed to run the entire Lucas season. But that looks like it changed yesterday. On Facebook, the team shared that Jimmy's, quote, drive for five starts this weekend, and now the entire Lucas schedule has been added to JimmyOwens20.com. Obviously, the drive for five referring to Jimmy's four career Lucas titles and the chance to add a fifth. The last of those championships came in 2020 when he had a dominant season, winning 11 times in 47 starts and easily running away from Tim McCready at the end. Things for the Newport Nightmare haven't really been the same since then, and he ended up falling off the series in both 2022 and 2023. That win at East Bay, though, back in February was his first since 2022 with Lucas, and an encouraging sign of that Kohler Motorsports team finding some speed. Won't be easy to get into that Lucas Chase Final Four, but at the moment, Owens is only 50 points back of Dalton Wilson. Remember yesterday we talked about kind of that entire situation and who's gunning for all of those spots. Jumping back to what happened on Sunday at Williams Grove, we talked about it earlier this week, but Cameron Smith was deemed by race officials to have jumped the initial 410 sprint car feature start, but by track rules, both Smith and Danny Dietrich were docked a row for the infraction. Instead of just knocking back the offender, the rule is that the entire row gets penalized. I didn't even know this was a thing, but I did have some of you inform me that this rule exists at a few tracks and with a few series elsewhere. And I understand why it's a rule to hopefully stop drivers from playing games on those starts, checking up, things like that. But Dietrich absolutely did not deserve to get dinged there. I and several others pointed out that this rule probably needed to be reevaluated. And in an interesting turn of events, we've got an update on this situation. But it's a good news, bad news type of deal. So Williams Grove and Lincoln, who are aligned on officiating, did go back and reevaluate, and they did make a change to the rule. That's great. Hat tip to them for being flexible and taking another look at this. I'd honestly like to see that happen more often around the sport. Only in this case, the change they made is probably not better. Now, based on the change, if a car jumps the start, the offender will be warned and a second attempt at the start made. On a second jump start, then both cars on the front row will be docked. So the only real difference here is the offender gets a warning initially, but the penalty for the second is still the same. I don't know why they didn't just change it to the jumper getting the penalty like we see a lot of other places, since they know who it is. Obviously, they're going to warn somebody, but this feels like they overcomplicated it. Maybe, though, since it appears that they can be flexible, they will again take a look at this after all of the feedback they've received in the last, you know, less than 24 hours. This version of the rule feels like it's going to open up a can of worms with warnings and guys testing those warnings, and again, the possibility of penalizing drivers who don't deserve it. Alongside the USAC National Series, there are several USAC-sanctioned regional series. I know some of you are super locked in on this stuff, but I know some of you aren't. And that includes the USAC East Coast Sprint Car Series. It's a non-wing series that runs all over the Northeast. They run at places like Bridgeport, Williams Grove, Port Royal, Fonda, Action Track USA. Briggs Danner was the series champion in 2023. He topped Steven Dravicki and Joey Amantia. It's been a non-wing 360 series utilizing the smaller displacement engines to try and help keep costs down, but that's changing for the future. Starting in 2025, the USAC East Coast Series will allow teams to run 410 engines. Their hope is that this will open up the pool of available cars and help prepare teams more to run competitively with other series and on the national stage. It is not uncommon for a lot of those non-wing teams based on the East Coast to also have 410 engines, so that when things like the USAC National Sprint Car Series come through, they can compete. There has been a lot of talk, especially lately, about the rising costs of 360 racing, whether winged or non-wing, with some saying it's not much different these days than going 410 racing. The series hopes that the availability of more potentially used 410 engines because of the prevalence of sprint car racing in that part of the country will help with some of the cost concerns. They are also exploring some different engine rules like 410 injector restrictors to also keep the playing field level. We'll see if this will get some of those Ohio and Indiana non-wing teams maybe to go east more often. And reaction seems to be a bit mixed, but it feels pretty rare these days to get a rule change that's just roundly accepted by everyone. A one-weekend schedule note for you, the World of Outlaws Late Model Series weekend at Thunder Hill Raceway has been postponed until April 18th. According to the release, the track had a big improvement project over the offseason that included adding new grandstands, new catch fencing, and more. But weather has slowed down their progress on those improvements, and things do not appear to be ready. So now we'll get a three-race weekend in April with Thunder Hill moving to Thursday the 18th, and then the already scheduled Talladega show on the 19th and 20th. We won't see the Outlaws now for three more weeks with Farmer City and the Illini 100 weekend coming up next. That is April 11th through the 13th. Because of Bobby Pierce's penalty, Brandon Shepard is your current series points leader right now by 8 over Chris Madden. We do have Lucas this weekend at Atomic in Brownstown, like I've said, but after that, the focus in dirt late model racing over the next few weeks will really be on the regional series. We do as well have the XR Super Series beginning their 2024 season, but that won't happen until April 5th and 6th at the Volunteer Speedway. If you want some more dirt racing audio this week, Winged Nation has Gio Selzy and Cole Macedo. Passing Points has Kyle Jones. Dirt Tracks and Rib Racks has Brian and Cruz Stanfill. Hoagie's Garage has Chase Dietz and Ryan Timms. Dunewich on Dirt has Ben Watkins. Across the Groove has Mark Monaco. Ohio Dirt has Rich Farmer. Plum Wild has Brett Wheeler. And there are new episodes of The Dirt Reporters from Dirt on Dirt, Dirt Track Confessions, Turn 2 Terribles, Getting Up to Speed, and The Hammer Lane. To see all of the dirt racing shows and their newest episodes, head over to dirttracker.com/podcast. As is always the case, if you guys know of shows that I don't have featured here, let me know. I would certainly like to add them so we can keep this page as complete as possible. That's it for the daily show today. The streaming schedule has been pretty quiet all week, and that really continues into today. It will start to ramp up this weekend, though, and you can see it anytime over at dirttracker.com/watch tonight. Appreciate as well all of the reaction to the news from yesterday, adding Kubota Genuine Parts as the presenting sponsor of the show. All of the text messages, all of the DMs, all of the Twitter responses and the YouTube comments. It means a lot, and it shows just how powerful this audience is. And I'm glad you guys are embracing this. There's a lot of cool things to come, so stick around. I hope you guys have a great Wednesday out there. We'll see you right back here tomorrow.